Many books have been written on the Trinity, but I don't think anyone has ever honestly claimed to fully understand it. Our limited minds can never understand our infinite God any more than a computer can understand its manufacturer. The purpose of this short article is not to explain the Trinity, but to simply highlight a few groups of verses which can only make sense when we view God as a Trinity. The first group is regarding creation. Isaiah 44:24 tells us that the Lord, Jehovah, created the heavens and mankind. Then Colossians 1:16 tells us that Jesus created everything. And Job 33:4 tells us that the Holy Spirit created mankind. So who created us? Was it Jehovah, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? The fact is, the Bible says that they all created us. Now, if we look at Genesis 1:1, it tells us that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So if God created it all, then Jehovah, Jesus and the Holy Spirit must all be God. The only way these verses can make sense is if we believe that together the three of them make up our one Trinitarian God. Let's look a bit closer at the word God. Isaiah 44:6 tells us that there is only one God, but the word God in Hebrew is plural, meaning that God is more than one. Also, Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The word one in this verse denotes a unity, and it is the same word that is used in Genesis 2:24, where it says that when a man and a woman unite in marriage, they become one. We all know that after marriage, the man and the woman are still two separate people, but through marriage they unite and are said to be one. This is how it is within the Trinity. Three separate persons are united to make up our one and only Creator God. Let's now look at who raised Jesus from the dead. In Acts 3:26, God is said to have raised Jesus. In John 2:19-21, Jesus said that he would raise himself. And in Romans 8:11, the Spirit is said to have raised Jesus. So who raised Jesus? Three separate identities are said to have done it. Who actually did it? The Bible says that they all did it, and that can only make sense if we understand God as being three persons in one. Also, how could Jesus die and then raise himself unless he was both man and God? Lastly, a group regarding the Holy Spirit. Matthew 10:20 says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. Acts 16:7 says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And Romans 8:9 says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Once again, we have a group of verses that only make sense when we understand that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one. The Bible has much, much more to say about the Trinity, but I believe that these groups of verses are enough to prove that God is a Trinity. Three persons united in such a way that they make up our one true God. Further proof of the Trinity is found in the following verses, which tell us that both Jesus and the Holy Spirit are God. Regarding Jesus being God, in John 20:28, Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." What could be plainer than that? Then in Isaiah 9:6, two of the titles of the Son, Jesus, our mighty God and everlasting Father. These titles for Jesus can only be understood in the light of God being a Trinity. Regarding the Holy Spirit being God, in Acts 5:1-5, Ananias lied about the price he got for selling a property. In verse 3, Peter told him that he had lied to the Holy Spirit, and then, in verse 4, Peter said that he had in fact lied to God. So lying to the Holy Spirit is the same as lying to God, and this of course means that the Holy Spirit is God. There are many other scriptures which can be used, but these examples should be enough to show that God is three persons in one. This little article does not explain the whys and wherefores of God being a Trinity, but the verses quoted show that he is. There is just no other answer. I'm sure that in eternity we will have a better understanding, but in the meantime, we can only simply believe what is written. Amen.